Did. All right, welcome everybody to the Josephine County Board of Commissioners Tuesday General Discussion. We're in the BCC conference room at 9 a.m. and it is February 11th, 2020. We flipped one and two, and number two is economic development request for the Ivy Airport. Mr. Cameron Camp.
Thanks.
And your backup, Susan C. Ryder.
The most important person, Susan C. Ryder. So it actually is, I don't know, more generally about the airport, but it's more of a culmination of discussions over the past 6 months with parties involved in the airport, but also other departments. And the sense is that I wonder if we could get behind some kind of a strategic process that defines a strategy ahead of time so we could be more proactive going forward as to what the goals are for different departments, in this case specifically the airports department, such that all I know is that I can relate to in my own personal situation. I own a business. As business owners, we go in, we set the tone, we say, here's what we want to do. And then we talk to our employees, our managers, we talk to our customers, then we set the direction. And so, for example, if we're thinking about going into a new sewer service area, we do that. We set the strategy, and then all the other competing requests, we measure against that strategy. And so I think we can look here to the City of Grants Pass. They've got an exercise in place. What that does is it prevents a reactive stance to things that may happen and sets the strategy at the beginning of the year for this department. Like, here's what we want to do. It gets the input ahead of time from the advisory board, of which I'm the chair of the Ivy advisory board, from the director, from everybody involved in that department, and then it says, okay, we're going this direction. That prevents, for example, something coming down along the way saying, oh, we ought to do this, we ought to do this, and then it's anyone's guess which one you follow. And I think that is not focusing on the past, but I think that's part of the cause for situations we've found ourselves in as a county. And so along those lines, as you may or may not know, I'm involved in the Collaborative Economic Development Committee, and I'm wondering if we could sort of start the process. CEDC, Susan, it says, yeah, that sounds great. I'm not sure if you know what she was saying. Yeah, that sounds great, too. But maybe helping do the legwork to start this process. I'm not focused on what has happened at the airports. Obviously, there's, you know, some considerable discussion about that. I'm focused on getting an overarching buy-in from the board eventually, in the process of, say, the next 90 days or whatever it winds up being, whereby we can say, okay, this is the direction for the airports in terms of what I was thinking about is what is the priority. I wrote some notes. These are just nothing but just notes that came to mind. Okay, you know, priority one, for example, flying activities, priority two, aviation support activities, priority three, historic and the story of the valley. And then revenue goals, for example, two new aviation-related developments in 2020. I mean, these are kinds of things you might fill in the blanks.
How far out do you want this snapshot to be? Do you want to take it annually, year to year?
Yeah.
Or so you don't want to go out with a five-year plan. You're looking at just, okay, what are we going to do in 2020 at the Ivy Airport?
Yes, it's the strategic plan that business pretty much has to have to stay in business. Otherwise, you get too many different. Your business can't go in all directions. It's got to go in.
Right.
These, and I think the challenge that I've seen in different departments and conversations is, in the absences of this coming from the board with the support, you know, get the input of the advisory board, but then say, okay, here's where we're going, and then the department folks that are leading the department, they have got the cover because they can say, here's the template, here's where we're going. In the absence of that, what happens is the directors get the blame for this because they thought they'd go this direction or this direction. And this, I think, would give that some kind of a framework we would far less likely to have happen. For example, I know of a use that's going to come or try to come into the airport at some point. It's been burbling in the background. There have, in other situations, been somewhat contentious. We had a document that said, well, here's our goals for the year, and does that fit or does it not fit? And that, I think, would be seen to be a leadership position from the Board of Commissioners saying, like, you know, this is, as a business owner, that's something only I can do. Then if it goes wrong, I take the heat. but I've got the input from our employees, our managers, and our customers. And so it's a, sort of an informed process. And so all I would say is, does that sound excuse me, like a good idea? And would it be interesting to sort of tee up the exercise and let CEDC kind of, you know, help, assist? I think the deliverable would be is in 90 days have some sort of a, you know, process idea of what the process may be in place, maybe have it implemented, and then perfect storm would be every year revisiting those goals and, like, you know, here's the goal for this department, here's the goal for that department. Everybody understands where everybody's going. You've got it. People have got a chance to weigh in and get their input. And then once it's set, that's it. But you don't get all these rear guard actions and defensive stances as things come up. So, Susan, what do you got, any comments?
Well, I think as all the commissioners have been involved in the strategic planning with the city, it's not just the year-over-year goals, but they're, you know, like they're long-term goals as well. I mean, you can't achieve certain things in just 1 year. CEDC's been meeting for 3 years now. We are going to be, there is a an appointment to go before the city council and the county commissioners as two entities. CEDC and our housing advisory committee is both going to be presenting on the end of March. And just trying to be more strategic and just be on the same page. There's several people on the CEDC that represent Illinois Valley and represent Merlin and represent the county as well as the city, and just trying to work together. Airports are on the CEDC's list of, you know, how can the Collaborative Economic Development Committee, you know, make recommendations, you know, can they make recommendations for the airport in Grants Pass and in Illinois Valley? They believe that funding is very important for that, to extend the runway in Grants Pass. Cameron obviously knows more about the Illinois Valley Airport, but the CEDC wants to be part of that. They want to help give recommendations so that there is a better long-term goal for all of our county.
So I assume you've seen the airport master plan that
yes.
was just finished by a consultant.
Yes.
And that you're going to work within that framework, but be a little more granular, get down to what this year is. And
yeah, it's almost not even that. I mean, so the airport layout plan, if you do or don't know, it's the thing you have to submit to the FAA saying, here's the things we might ever do. Unicorns for everyone on the airport. I mean, you have to put it all in there. Mm-hmm. Just because it has to be a placeholder on their roadmap. That's not a strategy. It's a wish list. But it's an important step in the wish list. In other words, it has to be possible. You can't submit a non-conforming use to and put it on the ALP because the FAA is not going to allow that. But within that, where is the focus? Is the focus, again, you have competing things. Okay, this guy wants to do this thing. He wants to, you know, do this use case over here. It's on the ALP, and this guy wants to do something that's going to take resources. You can't do both. Which is the priority? So it's more like... it's more like a strategic exercise, like we have to do every day in business to stay in business. And of course, within that context, you take into account all of the guardrails you have on what you can do. But still, it doesn't. That's not direction. That's a wish list.
Gotcha.
Would this help in your budgeting for economic development dollars? That's the part that I think I'm frustrated by the most is anybody that walks in here with an ask, we'll get it from economic development. Well, we give that to you, and economic development is throwing money everywhere, and I don't know how much you take in every year. I have no clue.
Would absolutely, if I'm imagining this like a business, absolutely.
Yeah,
you say, I've got $5 to spend. Then you say, okay, and based on our priorities, our number one priority is to, you know, do
you would get a comprehensive look at that year and say, you know what, I'm not going to fund that with economic development dollars because we've prioritized that this is better.
It would
be better to have an economic development
plan, you would have some backup for the decision you're getting ready to make. I think that's
just as important to say no as it is to say yes.
Yeah.
But you have to say yes strategically, and everybody has to know. No, you've given your input. Okay, now here's what we're going to do because it matches the plan for this.
I think the frustrating part for this commissioner is that all these 11th hour decisions.
Well, this would also speak to
this
that.
I think this would probably, you know, cure some of that. Because
preempt it. I would assume it doesn't happen.
Yes, you would see, everybody has it seeing right in front of them what everybody's talking about.
Yep.
And then you would be able to say, you know, I'd like to see the plans on that recap of the runway and IV, and then I could decide not 2 weeks before the app has to be put in or that the bid's let out that I want to move a run-up area from this side of the airport to that side of the airport. And you go and spend 2 hours talking about it because that should have been something that was all hashed out a long time ago.
It's avoiding the tyranny of the urgent by having a plan.
Yeah, exactly. Basically. Yeah, yeah.
And I don't care who gets the credit. I don't care. But I do think, as I own the business, some things I have to make the decision for, and then, of course, I take the heat. But if I have a plan ahead of time, I'm not reacting. And I think in some ways, in some scenarios, there's this position of, you know, being back on our heels rather than, no, this is what. It creates a sense of calmness, a current sense of direction for those who are employees. Okay, here's the direction we're going. And if we could, you know, help doing the hard, heavy lifting from CEDC, wouldn't that be interesting?
I think it would be to our advantage to utilize what you guys have to offer. Because I don't think we're using what the CEDC really has to offer. And if you could offer that up, it would sure help us. Because, you know, when it gets us, to be quite honest with you, it makes us look a little bit stupid to have these things flying around without knowing about them.
You've got some really invested people on the CEDC from all areas.
Right.
And they, you know, they're very interested in moving the needle.
And they can all contribute to each other in this process.
But. And help with the due diligence to make a good decision. I mean, I rely on our managers to say, go out and find this thing for me. That doesn't make me worse of a leader. It says, go tell me your experience. Mm-hmm. Okay, but in the end, we're going to go this way and not this way.
Right.
And so are you saying that, like, first 60, 90 days of the year, even this year, would be the time for the airport board to recommend what the year's priorities are and collect information from CEDC, a little cross-pollination there? And
I would imagine standing up a pilot project to do this in the next 60 to 90 days with the charge from the understanding from the board that CEDC is going to lead this process. It's going to be a process. It's not going to be, you know, on Tuesday you'll do this. And define some deliverables. What is the deliverable? What things do we want to measure? Which helps. And as a business, if you're not measuring money, you're out of business. So there has to be fiscal consideration. And look for the highest and best uses and all the things that we know and understand would go into a strategic plan. And again, this is something that, you know, we can pull from others' experience and certainly the experience of folks in that room. You have complete buy-in from CEDC. They're neutral. Then you ask the board, what do you think? You ask Larry and his crew, what do you think? And you get done with all that, and you say, okay, homina-domina, here's where we're going this year. That would really inform budget. It would inform priorities. It would inform operations. What, you know, all these inputs would be there. And I think that's going to take 60 to 90 days, I would believe.
Well, and they're an advisory committee. They're not, you use the word lead, but I think that they want to just have, if they want to be an advisory and make recommendations based on their compilation of facts and data and, you know, and input. Because
I think the CEDC could provide the roadmap west instead of just when you ask the wagon master which way we're going, he goes that way. The roadmap would be laid out of what, you know, and they could say, you know, better put that piano aside because we have to cross the Colorado River, and that's not going to be nice. So don't haul it all the way there to leave it at the Colorado River, sell it here before you go. You know, something like that, I think it shows a huge amount of value. Because we've got a lot on our plate in this office and in this organization, and both organizations, Grant City, Grants Pass, and Yosemite County. So I see real value in what you can bring to the table.
I think it's going to create calmness. I think it's going to create a sense of unified direction. You can't get on your horse and ride off in all directions.
Right.
So and that's what's happened.
What would this recommendation or mandate, whatever you want to call it, from the board look like if we're going to give the permission for this to go? Because it sounds like there's some appetite for it.
I guess you map out the what your program is going to look like and what your deliverables are as a CEDC, and then we say, yes, we're on common. So it's the same, you're giving the same thing to the council that you
right.
are here.
Yes.
And we both agree, you know, yep, that looks really good. Take it and run with it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so to summarize, basically charge the CEDC with coming up with some kind of a template or proposal within roadmap, within, you know, some time frame that Susan knows about.
you're smart.
Well, we do have to get it. We do have to compile it before we meet with the two bodies.
But we're not asking you for anything today of what that looks like.
Yeah,
you know, I think, you know, don't spend a bunch of time doing something. Then we go, what are you doing out on your own like that? I appreciate you coming to the board and to the city council and kind of laying this out. Hey, this is what we would like to do. Is this what does this fit in with what maybe you need?
Yeah, leadership has to come from the top. We can help inform that, do the legwork. So I don't know what it specifically looks like, but, you know, my thought is just let's just start that journey.
Let's start it. That's just me speaking.
I think leadership is shared because there's leaders at all levels.
Yeah.
And so you guys are showing some initiative by going, hey, we want to have the same type of plan, structure, to have the goalposts that you can pass or the mileposts that you can pass to get
somewhere.
Where's
the goal?
Yep.
And here again, put in a financial aspect into that as to how much you think a budget type situation, because I said we get it all the time. Well, I'm going to show economic development because it's like economic development has this big pot of gold up here. And the next thing you know, everybody's taking their little pound of flesh out of it, and there's nothing. And then all of a sudden we're going, hey, we got to cut this program. We can't fund that when you've already started it. That gets pretty dicey. I would rather know that a pothole before we step in.
Well, I know the CEDC wanted to see funds put towards the airports.
Yes,
and
yes.
That
recommendation was taken very seriously by the board. Commissioner Morgan?
Well, I guess I don't see this as a separate request from what we've already been on the path of for the last 3 years now, this fourth year, that we've used our lottery dollars, economic funds, towards matching dollars for the airport. So we have each year put a portion of those dollars towards airport project, and I think it would be a matter of solidifying a policy that is where our priority is, kind of a prioritization that I heard Cameron suggest for the advisory boards, but also as a whole, an economic development plan. And that is something that we have wanted and kind of trying to figure out what is the plan, where is this going to go, how much is a little extra over here that can go towards this project or not, but we have put many eggs in one basket of that airports is the future of economy in our community, and especially with Illinois Valley Airport, with trying to get the water retention pond and everything else out there completed for the sake of the industrial park that would enhance business on the airport. That is consistent with trying to work towards jobs, trying to work towards workforce development in the high schools, giving a place where those kids can do internships or a Southern Oregon Air Academy opportunity out at the IV airport. My one concern is that the IV airport is now meeting quarterly, has not consistently had quorums. So as far as getting that, we've had the ask from CEDC, and that ask is consistent with what we've already been doing. So I see that as something we can go forward with. I do like the idea of having a prioritization recommendation out of each of the advisory boards. They're supposed to, by our policies, give an annual report on where they're at, and every advisory board kind of thing. And so we don't have a formalized process to that. We kind of wanted to start with a strategic plan last year as a board. We met with all the department heads and elected officials as a first kind of gathering, but we didn't really grow it out of there of what is this intentional process to do before we build the budget, and so that we're supporting and what do we know is coming up, what do we need to get done in the next year. But I would like us to pursue that, and I think this is a good opportunity with this group. As chair, Cameron, you can call a meeting.
Yes.
And it could be a specific meeting for a workshop for this purpose to make a recommendation back, and would would be definitely, I think, beneficial. But again, the balance of advisory boards and then ultimately working with the department head and where are the goals that we're setting, what can we, where does that go? But I like the idea, the concept. I think it's consistent with what we're already doing. It's not a different ask. It's just asking that we commit to it.
So, Annette, did you have a...
Commissioner Dale? Correction. They don't have to meet only once a quarter. They can meet...
It's a minute.
They have to meet four times a year. They can meet every month if they want. If the need arises, if they want to call a meeting, if chairman calls a meeting every month, they can do that. And we just changed it in the bylaws. It will aid us in getting a quorum there more often. And so, we've made some changes along that line. We had a quorum last time.
Yes, we did.
So, well, and it was a good meeting.
And I think the ask of that the airport director at the CEDC of $150,000 a year set aside for 5 years was the start of a plan. And so it'd be nice to back that up with, well, what about the rest of it? Annette?
I just had a question. If you guys have been working with Larry at all?
Yes.
Okay. Larry is thrilled and wanted to do a hallelujah breakdown when I pitched this to him. That's not a technical term. He just said we've got to decide on if this is the direction we're going. It has to come from leadership. And he asked, wanted, it was appropriate to be here. I said, I don't know that it's so much about that. I think it's more about the process rather than. But what that would wind up in is he would have some pretty, a bit of a template and some guardrails set by leadership. And then he would be able to act within those. And then he wouldn't get blindsided all the time by 11th hour requests.
Well, and if I might, Chairman, in the past, it's, I've got this thing ready to go. I fill out the grant. I've got the grant. Now I need to know, I've got to come in and basically beg, get down on my hands and knees, and beg for matching funds.
Right.
Whatever that is. And I like the $150 a year, or whatever it is you decided on for 5 years. I look at Boatnick in the city of Grants Pass. They finally said, we need a 5-year contract. We can't put on stage something this big every year thinking, well, we get a new change of power over there. Well, I don't like Boatnick anymore, and it's gone. I'm not going to give you a permit. And the same thing goes with any large thing like that. And airports is definitely a big, it's on everybody's mind. We have the opportunity coming up to do some really good things at both airports. Mm-hmm. And I think that... I think that's a 5-year deal. Is just that was fantastic when I heard about that. That's and I think, as you say, it's a start. Mm-hmm.
And what is the structure behind that? Do we need to pass a resolution declaring 5 years, 150?
I think the CEDC needs to come with us with their recommendation between.
And they did. They made
a
motion.
They made a motion.
Yeah. Okay.
And
so it's at our desk, I think.
It is
okay,
at your
so
desk.
Okay, so we need to approve it, and then it needs to be city council approved. Do you have any idea when it goes before the council? Okay, I'm not supposed to talk about that. Go ahead.
No. I just would suggest that our decision be independent of the city council's decision.
Well, I know that. I'm asking.
Our decision doesn't have to go get ratified by the city council.
No.
Our commitment is our airports, regardless of what the city's doing. Now, if the city in turn realizes the benefit to them and makes that decision, that would be awesome, because most of the businesses that are housed out there are city businesses.
Right.
And so this is but I just would say that we don't have to wait for city council scheduling.
I was just asking when it was going to go to the city council.
Well, I think it's March 31st, or okay. The workshop is the end of March.
Okay, I haven't heard.
And yeah, you broke the subject with them and didn't get rebuffed is what I heard as well, whether
right.
from a liaison or...
The city doesn't have lottery dollars, though. The only lottery dollars go to the county.
They have economic development dollars.
Really, we don't. The economic development dollars that we do have right. go towards public safety and different things. There isn't a lot of wiggle room in the economic development dollars for the city.
They've already grown it. Like
that's what I want to know.
That's what I've heard.
That's what I want to know is what is that wiggle room?
So the wiggle room would be the general fund, probably. It would have to come from the general fund, and I can't speak for the city council.
Right.
I cannot.
But they aren't
that.
Utilizing the increase. There's been a $700,000 increase in the last 5 years in that account because of the work of the city council and the contractor. And so there should be some more wiggle room than there was.
Well, the CEDC as a whole, as an entity, wanted both the city and the county to participate in mm-hmm. this this funding mechanism for the grants pass, because they do realize that it is economic development. You know, if we extend that runway in grants pass, you know, if there's more productivity in Illinois Valley, it's good for the whole economic development.
Right. Well, and if it wasn't actual dollars, there's an opportunity to participate in some form or fashion in getting water to the airport. And so if it's not money, there might be another avenue the city could participate in.
In a lot of cases, not take
the whole thing, but take a part.
In a lot of cases, and I'm looking at standby water more than anything else, because that's all we could do at either airport, and you know, which is fire suppression water. That could really hold up some serious dollars. So when you go apply for a grant and they go, you know, we're going to build the hangar, but how are you going to put it out? So, you know, it's a chicken or the egg type thing. And I think we can be very, because we all three of us know how that works out there and where the tower is and what it takes to get it out there and what the hurdles have been in the past for not getting it to the Grants Pass Airport, not as potable water, but as standby water.
Right, future potable, that certainly which can go with the fire hydrants, right? Standby water is fire suppression water,
and then we would already have the infrastructure there.
Yes,
if and when the sewage treatment system out there is settled out, then basically we'd have we're already there.
And you can fill fire helicopters with that as well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to comment on what Commissioner Morgan said. It's true that the county doesn't have to wait for the city council. I mean, you are your own governing body, and the city is their own governing body. But I think the whole reason that the CEDC came into being was that we were both on the same page.
Collaborative.
You know,
I'm looking at the first word.
The Collaborative Economic Development Committee. It's and that's the CEDC's, you know, purpose is to, all right, how can we work together? How can we cross the divide of, you know, the city of Grants Pass versus Merlin versus Cave Junction?
Yes.
We're all in it together. And now we have this already five-year, you know, their strategic plan. There's lots of ways that we can fit in together and work together to make a bigger impact.
Bring it back to ground zero. I like it. I think it's definitely something that's been needed to happen for a long time, and we're gonna step in some potholes along the way, no doubt about it. You're gonna want to change some things and whatnot, but you're the advisory committee. Right. To me, that's advise me. I don't know. She does. She's got it all figured out right now. She's getting ready to blurt something out, but that's because she's way ahead of me on all this stuff. Right. But I like it. I like the way it's starting out. That's my own.
So, what can we do to propel this idea forward? Because sounds like we're pretty close to being on board. If not, we haven't taken any votes or temperatures.
Honestly, I had emailed Arthur when we started just to see if he can come over, but he didn't get the email, I guess. So I think that in your role as economic development kind of coordinator hat that you wear, it would be appropriate to have you sit down with Arthur and kind of get a total handle on economic development dollars that we got and what are those ongoing things that we fund out of it. And so out of that, you and Arthur could present back to us a plan of, okay, we think this is what we can do, and board, do you agree? And then we can put that in a form of a order and say this is what we endorse, and then it's kind of,
right, something to talk about instead of a concept.
But
some tangible numbers.
But the other concept is simply that as you're preparing the budget for that portion with Arthur, that you could say, okay, this amount is going to go to airports for this year. As airport liaison, easily the three of you, with Larry being the third, could call a meeting and get something going and saying, we as a board, I mean, if one of y'all want to make a motion or something, we can say, yes, we endorse the idea of you guys coming up with this as a trial to see how it goes, and we'd like to see what you come up with, and please have it back to us by such and such a date for the sake of that we can then go from there. Those are some options for you.
And I think there's some stumbling blocks already in place that we're going to have to take a look at, and that's some of these economic development dollars in the future have already been earmarked for here and there. So we've really got to, you know, it's going to take a couple, 3 years for this to say, yeah, this is what we get from economic development, and this is what we're going to do with it. Right now, is we can get this from economic development, and, you know, what are you going to do with it? You know, really, we don't have a plan for that. And I think that's where y'all are coming in to say what is that plan, and then it exactly what you're saying, Cameron. It certainly puts the cows all in a line that you can handle them. And I think it's a good idea. So I'll make that motion that the CEDC move forward with their plans for
and the airport.
Yearly.
Is it CEDC? Just a clarification. Is it CEDC? Is it Airport Advisory? Just clarifying, because CEDC has already made their recommendation to us. Mm-hmm. Now it's kind of a Airport Advisory role to follow up with the report.
Yeah, I guess I see what you're saying. Is the ask for the airport section of economic development?
Not the funding, the plan of prioritization.
Is that plan prioritization? Are we looking at just the airport portion of economic development? Is that, Cameron, is that what you had in mind?
There's two questions. There's two sides to that, I would say. One is, okay, the guinea pig is the airports department. The foot labor is coming from CEDC.
Okay.
That's how I would envision that.
Right.
The airport advisory, you sit on the airport advisory. Yeah, Cameron brings back that information to the CEDC. They discuss it. They, you know, you put more heads together from the airport advisory the CEDC. Let's hash it out. Then we bring it back to the commissioners to say, you know, based on...
You're all in agreement.
So
the airports and CEDC, this has been, what the airport brought to the CEDC has been vetted.
Yeah.
And we've hashed it over and we made our changes, and this is the final product to take to the board.
As a pilot project for perhaps looking at for other parts of the county, departments, if we have a success.
Right. So you want to start with just the airport?
Well, it's something I know and for which I'm the chair of the advisory board and also a hangar owner, so I guess that makes a certain amount of sense.
Right. And so are you going to look for the CEDC to make a motion to endorse this idea of a plan?
And sure. You might have got off the hook, Arthur.
That'll start a motion.
We'll be bringing it up at the next meeting.
But I have to meet with you now, apparently.
I didn't recognize you, Arthur.
He gets younger every time he walks in. I don't know how he does it. It's like a miracle. Well, thank you guys so much for volunteering.
Thank you for taking the time
case,
and all the efforts.
And for actually trying to put some structure in it so that we can go somewhere. I really like that idea.
And 15 seconds, if I have it, is good news. We are starting a filing club. It's a 5133 out at the airport, and we got our first plane commitment for donating a plane for students to be able to fly.
You got to donate a plane?
Yeah.
Well, we do. We just have to make sure with Bill Gettle
it's
got to have the
that
right advisors and the certifications.
It's a Cherokee 140. And the guy said, if you guys want to use it for education, which is a nonprofit 501c3, then that means the students that we just hired out of the high school intern program, which we did, now he gets to fly.
That's incredible. Just as another side note, since you both represent CEDC, we had discussion about grant stuff. And I did, we met with the RVCOG about potentially seeing how we can partner with them. And so they're going to be meeting with Amber and Michael to come back with a proposal of how that can maybe, you know, and working with the city grant writer and you guys through the CEDC. So we're seeing if we can bring a plan back to you guys. So we're moving on that recommendation as well. That
excellent.
Thought I'd let you know.
Great.
Thanks so much for hearing.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And I'll get with you later on the week if that's okay.
Well, I got some stuff to do in the stairs. I'll pop back up.
One last question is, Hamadanomina, is that like abracadabra?
It's kind of like that.
Okay, just one.
It's very Latin.
Thank you, John.
Thanks, John.
Morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
I know you've got a busy one, so I'll try and keep it short. So what I'm asking today is to look at a change in admin or personnel policy 3.1. I sent out to the department heads 2 weeks ago. I got some feedback. I'd like to go over the policy as proposed that I sent to the department heads and then quickly go over their recommendations and see what you want to do as far as moving forward. So the underlying portions are the changes that I'm suggesting for... to address the problem of phishing emails and training of employees and repeat offenders of employees who open obviously dangerous emails or enter their credentials after being warned not to, or otherwise click on emails that are unsafe. Most of the time it's through training emails that we find this out, but sometimes we also get alerted by our threat detection software that someone's opened something or tried to install something on their computer that they shouldn't have. So as under appropriate use of email and the internet, I'm asking that email is also a means of communication that unfortunately requires a trained and vigilant response to avoid the introduction of malicious code. The county shall provide training, which we already do, and follow-up testing, which we already do, of incoming email messages, but it is up to the employee to report suspicious emails. We have a phishing alert button that's part of everybody's Outlook. It is never acceptable to enter your credentials in response to an email request, and potential phishing emails shall always be reported to information technology and openly opened after receiving permission from IT to do so. So we think we've been made it very clear to the employees of the county that if they're suspicious of an email and they want IT's opinion on that email, they can report it as phish, and we take it a very big responsibility that we respond to people very quickly. So I respond every day to two or three emails that people report as phish to say, this one's okay, you can open it. We open links that we think might be dangerous in a sandbox, a place that we can open links without affecting our network.
Do you guys get a sandbox?
It's a digital sandbox. Correct usage and incorrect usage remain the same. Under email response, and that title's kind of clunky, so I'm open to suggestions on that. Employees will complete any assigned training by the due date so that they are better prepared to use email responsibly. In the past, we've provided training for everybody. Some users have not taken the training, and we've treated that as okay as long as they don't click on emails. There are well-trained employees that don't need that training, that never clicked on anything and use the emails responsibly. But now we're starting to see people that we've seen a relationship of people not taking training and the higher incidence of clicking on phishing emails. So we're asking to make that part and parcel.
Are you looking at me when you say that?
just thinking it.
Or are you just looking over your glasses because you can't?
Yeah, that's right. Suspicious email will be reported immediately. This is a difficult thing to categorize. So suspicious email, trying to define it, is email that, according to the current training, establishes a level of uncertainty if the email is from a different sender. So we're always asking employees to look at an email and make a determination whether or not it's safe to open, especially when it comes to clicking on links or opening attachments. And that's what the training is about. So we're basically saying, we'll give you the training. You should be able to tell a safe email from a dangerous one, and you should be able to report dangerous ones. extra attention is warranted when the email is indicated to be from external sources. Then we're asking for the what happens when people don't do what we're asking them to do. And employees who fail to pass random internal phishing tests will be required to attend further training. We have been doing that in the past, and that has been fairly successful. We've offered them the ability to come to in-class training or to take online video training and to pass a test online. But if they either continue to fail internal phishing tests or to respond inappropriately to real phishing emails by clicking on unsafe links or opening attachments, they will have their email account suspended and face progressive discipline up to and including termination of employment. We did, in our initial draft, get more defined about what the repercussions would be, but progressive discipline is already cited in the policy, so that's kind of covered there. Any questions so far?
This little box over here, I'm assuming that just that shouldn't have been on this piece of paper.
Those are just that I'm just showing you the tracking so you can see what red line changes I've made.
Okay, because I right here, I have no idea what you said. No, I wouldn't have
on the right here?
Yeah,
you can ignore those completely.
That's what
just word count. Yeah,
these are the department comments, though, that would maybe be good to see feedback from other departments.
So if there's no questions on what I'm trying to do, we did have some feedback from departments on the last page. Legal says since we're opening the policy, they'd like a provision that says up in the top portion of 3.1, providing email correspondence from the county legal department to persons who are not employed by the county is prohibited without prior approval. If the board thinks that's appropriate, that would be fine. It makes sense to include it here.
What does that mean?
Basically means that you can't forward advice from legal department to external agencies without getting the permission of the legal department.
Gotcha.
And they said, one of their suggestions was to put the sentences that I put in the very first paragraph into the paragraph where we had the repercussions of not following that policy. So the text would be more directly aligned with the email response, new additions to the policy. Correction said that they think that discipline should be tightened up and defined. And so HR is basically saying all of our policy revolves around an already existing repercussions to violating the policy, and we don't really need to do that. Public Works would like to see it as never acceptable to enter your credentials in response to an email. I actually kind of like that to further strengthen that. That's the worst, absolute worst thing we can do. When we've done that before, a single person at a department put in their credentials, and this was not in response to a test. They actually did it. Everything that they could get to on the network was locked up by CryptoLocker. Very much what's happened to Tillamook County. But at Tillamook County, it was extensive. It was the whole county. At this particular department, it was because they were isolated to only a few folders. It was only what they could get to on the folders. And we had backups. We were able to replace it within hours. They only lost a couple hours of work. And that's the way it should happen. So emphasizing entering your credentials as a huge mistake is something that I would support. The assessor was fine with it, and veterans thought that the last sentence was maybe too punitive. But I think we really have to treat this as taking county resources and putting them at great risk. Literally, Tillamook has been without computers or phones for 2 weeks. They were shut down. They were just coming back online last Friday.
And it's a huge expense.
Imagine the cost.
I saw Commissioner Yamamoto, and it's so expensive for them.
Were they voice over internet?
Yes.
Yeah. Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could all take a lesson.
Mm. And I go to conference. I'm sorry. I go to conference today, and we hope to hear more of the details in confidence. What happened at Tillamook?
Well, is that a two ransomware? Is somebody asking for money?
Yeah. I don't know how that came out. I'm hoping to find out. The commissioners did meet to decide to negotiate should a ransom note come forward. I don't know if it ever did. Right. Some of these issues, they will just do the damage and never send a ransom.
Just having fun in the basement?
Yeah. Whatever. Any initial comments?
Got some questions.
Yeah, any of these staff recommendations that you say make sense to you and you want to stick in there?
The legal one, if the board sees fit, mm-hmm. to add the legal one. And to emphasize the credentials, I think makes sense. And it's possible that putting the text right next to the email response portions also makes sense. So those three items would make sense to me.
Right.
Yep. Good suggestions.
Commissioner Morgan, do you have something?
Yeah. So under appropriate use of email on the first page, under four, records and electronic messages that are retained should be organized to allow effective retrieval of identification. That sounds like a full-time job for somebody to organize. Do you have software that can do that for
we
you?
We never. These were already existing. Only the underlying portions am I asking to change.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's been an ongoing question for me at legal.
It's how do you do that?
How do you do that?
And then under the underlying portion, I had written a note. with the amount of stuff that's coming your way, is IT staffed at a level that can handle the calls for service? And does it have somebody there that somebody can call and get somebody on the phone and get, hey, I got a login pop-up right in front of me, what do I do? And if there's no response, they're stuck with using their computer until you guys are available. So I know you used to have someone answering phones, and now it's kind of a there's different processes. I don't know where it's at. I'm just wondering if, do you need more support? Do you need more help? Are you able to handle the calls for service?
So I've been with IT for 5.5 years. This is the first time that I'm going to ask to add an additional person. I literally do this myself, the phishing, as far as vetting people's phishing emails to see if they're okay to open. And that does tie up a lot of our time. So I am asking for a lower level entry position in the coming budget to backfill that immediate response to help desk help.
So my last question is, yesterday I got an email on my phone, and it was kind of like, so I clicked on the email, and it clearly was somebody from not here asking for something, and I just hit spam on my phone. But I don't have a phishing alert button to access county emails on my phone.
It doesn't work on the phone. You can forward it to the Know Before Fish Alert email, because that's all that button really does, is forward it to that email. And some people have asked for that, so I just send them the email address. You forward those. You are, and I don't want to overemphasize this, but you are safer on the phone typically than you are on the network. It does. You still risk virus on your phone, but it's safer than, to some degree, over opening it on the computer.
Because it doesn't have a window into the network here,
It's more of a secondary entrance to the network. It's not right away, and it's not a direct open on our Exchange server.
Gotcha. Further discussion? You're talking about adding a person in this year's budget, or do you have room to add a person in this last year's budget?
No, we don't have room now, but I would like to get someone for July 1's year start.
So it'd be in your new proposed budget?
Correct.
Right, and do you have the space for them?
No, we're going to have to make room.
Okay.
One more down.
One
more down.
Thank you.
So, thank you. And because this sounds like a great recommendation, and I appreciate you taking staff input and taking the ones that make sense to you under advisement. So, do you just want verbal permission from us today?
So what I'd like to do today is to make the three changes we talked about, add legal's language, move some of the text, and emphasize the entering credentials, and have JJ present it at the next Thursday meeting that's available to the board to move it forward.
Does it need to go to Thursday, or can it just go to the weekly business session with those changes if we approve what you're saying?
Oh, yeah, that would be fine. I guess as long as it went to a public session.
I don't think we need to hear it again.
Okay.
Once consent you and JJ calendar. Coordinate, you can just get on the WBS.
Sounds really good. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, back to our agenda.
Been an hour.
We did two and one, so I think three comes next. Public Works Quarterly Update. Mr. Brandis.
Good morning, all.
Morning. What shall we talk about?
Right. So it's kind of an odd one because technically the order of these got tweaked a bit. So this is actually a 4-month update. So it's a triannual update or something like that, I guess. I don't know. Sure. There's the extra one there. Okay. So the storm kind of gave me a good opportunity to circle back to this, and you guys have all seen kind of our annual visual of how our workload plays out, and I just wanted to show you this because it's kind of interesting to see how the storm kind of has a ripple effect through everything we do. So on my first item there, I've shown where we've only done 50% of our planned vegetation management, and as you look on the matrix there, move down to the vegetation management, you'll see for that kind of October, November, December, we've got all kinds of chipping and stump treatment and other things going on. So with that storm, we guessed 70 down trees, which is quite a bit, getting them out of the road, but then it's all the other stuff that ends up in the sides of the right-of-way. We've had both of our chipping crews doing nothing but non-scheduled chipping. So we're not, you know, typically we'd say, hey, we're going to go hit this, this, and this road the next week. We're not doing that. We are still cleaning up storm and have been since. We've probably got six more weeks. So wow. Just to give you a sense of how much stuff comes down with one of those, two full-time chipping crews for 10 weeks is what that will be. And that was not...
I see ODOT's got their crews out. Yeah.
And that was not... Chainsaws. That was a big storm, but it was not an epic storm, but it's just the volume of stuff that ends up outside the right-of-way. I mean, the first goal that first week, shove it, get it out of the way so we can get open, but now it's all still sitting there. So
good thing is it can only fall down once.
Right. Right. Yes. Did some nice thinning for us. Yeah, we had a doozy back in like 13. I think like 570 trees came down in the next 4 years. We had nothing. Yeah. Nothing. The other biggie was... As the storm wore on, it became apparent that the work between us and PP&O was struggling. And at the time, Commissioner Morgan went to kind of a after-event meeting. And the difficulty has been over the years, we have lost our local contact. So when our guys call PP&O, we would get routed to Salt Lake City or who knows where. And so when the person gets on the phone and says, now where's this Galice Road? It's like, oh boy, this is not going to go well. So we're stepping somebody from three states away through this process, never mind us, and trying to get our crews to where they want to be. So I mean, we're... Within the first 36 hours, we were done. We couldn't do anything else. The other 24 roads were closed. There were trees with wires involved. So we could stand there and watch, but it doesn't do us any good. So that meeting went well. We've got some ideas going forward where, number one, we've got local contacts again. So we'll be able to, Dave Rubrecht and his guys can call a local person and say, hey, we're going to be out on Old Stage Road by 12:30. Follow us out there. We'll get you there. But we're also going to have Bob Noyes try to develop a GIS layer that'll be close to or actually real time for our plows that are out on the road that PP&L can then use. There's going to probably be some work to get them to give up where their crews are going to be at any instant, but at least get closer to say, we're headed that way, and we can say, okay, cool, we've got a plow here. We'll meet you there in 20 minutes kind of a thing. So every storm's a bit different. It was frustrating to us that we couldn't have been more assistance to them because we were, you know, once we had it plowed within the first day and a half, we can't do a lot more. I'm not going to get our guys to be trained linesmen, so... Hopefully that will be a little better the next time.
Surprises me that there isn't a map overlay already to say, you know, like if you were talking, even if you're talking to Salt Lake City.
Right.
So you better pull up Josephine County and we'll tell you, we'll pinpoint where Galice Road is.
Right.
And put a dot on it. Yeah. So you've got a line across the road right here, so they don't know, well, I don't know where Galice Road is.
Yeah, and I use that as an extreme example, but I think it's partly just, again, a matter of saying, you know, here's kind of the trap line that we're running. We're going to hit this road, this road, this road, and it's just, without some of the local knowledge, it doesn't mean as much to them.
Right.
And they don't get a sense of, well, we know there's heavier snow down in that canyon.
They're not going to run into people in Albertsons either.
Right.
But we also talked about the need of local perspective on prioritization. So we... Pacific Power's prioritization is which outage has the most people behind
it. Mm-hmm.
We had circumstances where there were certain roads blocked that people could not get in or out because it was one-way access. So for us, that would be a higher priority so that people aren't trapped away from their homes or in their homes if a tree could come out. So them having that access is huge to be able to call the local person and say, can we make this a priority? And that app that... they were talking about the GIS would create, they would be able to put stuff in and then also say that a response has happened so they can kind of see if things are missed or not.
Or could they put in a time when they think it's going to happen? In other words, UT...
PP&L?
Yeah, PP&L.
They actually have a
decent... We're going to get there in 12 hours, and you say, well, I'm not going to bother with it for another 12 hours.
Their online is okay. I think they're obviously cautious with that because they don't want to give folks the wrong idea. Say, oh, they're going to be here in 12 hours. Well, it's not going to be. But I hopefully with a local rep, we've got a little better idea. I'm saying, yeah, we're finishing up here. We're headed that way.
We're out in your area.
Exactly.
We'll bust that one out and move it up.
I mean, and to Commissioner Morgan's point, there's still going to be a push and pull where if PP&L says, hey, our next priority is this one because it has 20 houses down. This one only has five. We say, hold on. That one with five is on an ADT road of 4,000 cars. That other one's 20. Can we talk? That one might be a little, you know, there's going to be that negotiation going on, and I don't know how many ADT equates to one house out, but there is hopefully some math there that will take place as well, not just purely devolved back to saying there's more houses here than there's houses out there. So, next one down is the FLAP grant. This was the guardrail project for Galice. We are effectively done. I'm calling it done because we just have one or two trailhead signs that are left to be put up out there, but we're effectively done. Project came in at under grant a bit, so basically $1.5 million. Our out-of-pocket costs at this point are $162,000. So I will take those grants every day and twice on Sunday when we can find them. The next round, I believe, will be later this year. And initially, we're probably looking at a similar project, on the lower grade, lower wolf loop. It's got a lot of the same issues with some pretty steep canyons, substandard or lacking guardrail altogether. So we're going to keep cranking those as quick as we can find them. School-related projects there. The project out there at South Middle School, that is about done for design. We're going to have to get a little bit of right-of-way on that one. So we've actually, the city has asked us if we can have Helene do that. So she's going to take a look at getting a bit of right-of-way acquisition. But that one, we're shoving ahead to get that out to bid in spring. And for the Fruitdale Elementary, we're still just waiting on the beacons. It's actually a company from Canada, and we just have not taken delivery. But as soon as those are in, I suspect that's a fairly quick project to get those up.
Those solar?
They'll be hardwired. Well, the Fruitdale ones, I think we can get them solar.
Yeah.
Is the hope. Yep, yep. Always cheaper and easier.
Commissioner Dion? Yeah.
Where do we stand on the Williams project out there? Because that's school-related out there.
Yep. Yeah, I've got it further on down. I can either foreshadow or you want to
go
till there.
If it's farther on, we'll just take it
in
order.
Yep, we'll get you there.
Okay.
Finch Road status quo. That's going to be going out to contract here in the next month or so, and there'll be a build for fall of 20. Kirby Landfill, last time we talked, we were going to be looking at doing the reseeding in the fall. The weather just conspired against us. It stayed dry, and then we had a massively wet couple weeks, and the weather flipped, and we said, we're not going to get a good turn on that. So back to the same point. We'll just try and time it as we get that last good rain and things start to warm up a bit to get the best return on that seed. The Solid Waste Franchise Agreement. So this is, I've got the final draft in hand. I'm going to get it on for the board agenda, I'm thinking next Thursday. My thought would be to get you kind of a Reader's Digest version and say, here's the proposed changes. There's really not that many changes. It's more a matter of encapsulating, 15 different rate changes over the years and just all these amendments, getting it back into one document. The biggest real change is really just getting the Kirby transfer station added in there because it didn't exist back when the franchise was created in whenever it was, 1998 or whatever. But I've got that in hand for the board, so we'll get that on for next week is my guess. FEMA mitigation grant. This is about the $116,000 we got for a couple projects out in the Redwood area. We've got the kickoff meeting coming up next week with the state OEM. That will be an in-house build. We'll probably have to do a little bit of engineering and design with that, but this is effectively just a culvert install replacement, so that should be a fairly straight-ahead project. Next one is your Safe Routes to School for Williams. So when we counter-proposed the larger project with the roundabout and the three legs to the Safe Routes folks, they had a lot of concern at the state level with funding what looked like a roundabout because they had actually kicked another one out. And on that was kind of the express reason. They had a metric that said roundabouts did not yield enough of a bike ped benefit or did not fit the kind of the category they were looking. So their concern being if they fund this one, it wasn't Hardy County.
Somebody else is
going to speak. One of the Hood River counties up there somewhere would say, wait a second, you told us we can't do that now then. So I think we're going to fall back to saying, look, how about you fund three legs of that intersection plus the lights, three pavement all. We're going to build a roundabout that happens to be in the middle of your project at the same time and try to go from there. So it's effectively the same project, but can we disassociate that roundabout enough to where the state says, yeah, that's an acceptable
They'll use. Take care of the peripheral stuff. And,
right.
And so they're not funding the roundabout itself, but they're going to fund the intersection.
Yep, a bit of a shell game, if you will, but we're hopeful we can get it there doing that. And it would be a similar design to what we showed you last quarter.
And you might use that as a model for the people up in the canyon and just say, you could come to this.
Well, and they fully admitted to say, we like this project, but again, it just got down to they kind of had, 10 different triages that you could use for this money, and a roundabout wasn't one of them, and they used that as a reason for kicking out another project. Okay. So,
can you remind me the responses of the fire district and the school board?
School was really liked it. The fire board, but the chief at the time liked it. I was an interim chief, so we now have a new guy. I've since talked to Bill Ertel last week, and he was going to be in touch. I showed it to him. He liked the concept. Their biggest concern was just that there would be enough stacking distance behind that that roundabout if it somehow got that congested. And so the other thing we could do is if it got to where, kind of like the Parkside Station, if it really got that congested, we could even look at some pavement marking that said, keep
Don't
clear
stand
fire
here.
Lane or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As part of that project, did we do a traffic study out there to see how many cars actually goes through that?
We've got counts, yeah. We did counts for it all, yeah. And I want to say it was about 1,200 on the main leg there. And then when she went down, I want to say it was about two-thirds continued that way and one-third went down to East Fork. So it's not a huge intersection, but it's high speed and there's folks trying to cross there. So it's
Well, and the other alternative of teeing one into the other, the lesser into the greater, didn't survive.
As it is now, but it's just, yeah, that's one of those you kind of wait for something to happen that's not good.
Yeah, gotcha.
Culvert installations, that's a status quo. We were just actually rediscussing this yesterday. Reeves Creek will be on our budget for next year. And if you remember, this is a monster. Reeves Creek, basically just the road threads that dang thing. Who put a creek right there at the bottom of the canyon and a road? But here we are. So I want to say that there's 6 different sites comprising 10 total culverts. So a lot of these are going to be making a double barrel into a single barrel. But it's going to be an expensive one. But we're losing that road. And they all these culverts are the same vintage. So it's time. Beacon Project is moving on at 30% design. So another concept that we talked with Jenna Marmon the other day, she's the regional active transportation person for ODOT. If you're familiar with Roseburg, where they did that river walk right downtown over the bridge, they've used a treatment that's kind of a shared bike ped sidewalk. It's 10 feet wide, but it's designed for both bike and ped. It's signed as such. So we're looking at using that actually to keep it, the sidewalk would stay on the east side, but it would be an even bigger buffered area for those folks that are not in cars. It would have a mountable curb, but as we look at it, that keeps us a little more lane width, and it gets a bigger facility for those folks. The thought also being that people can ride the bikes. They could still coast downhill, and they may well, keeping up the traffic a bit, but that road is by and large pedestrian, so I think it's going to be a more a traditional sidewalk by and large, with occasional bikes on that east side.
Plus with the park coming at the end of Beacon.
Right.
It's timely.
Right. If any of you have an interest, I can certainly send you a link for what that looks like. It's right down there over the river.
Well, I think that goes along with our ask for an abbreviated, they need to water their down, you know, their street, what they would accept as a city street plan.
We cannot get to 2 5-foot sidewalks and 2 4-foot bike lanes.
You've got to abbreviate this up there. You got to come to some different thing. And I'm always in favor of multimodal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you got to have a bike path, you got to have a sidewalk gap, they can all ride on the same stretch of concrete, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. and that's just me.
Mm-hmm.
But at least you're going to include all of them in it, and if they don't like sharing, then I guess they can take another street.
Right.
I don't think it's just you, buddy.
Yeah.
It just falls on deaf ears all the time.
Sometimes it does.
You go to bikeways, and they want their own bike path. Then you go to pedestrians, no, I'm not, I want my own too.
Mm-hmm.
Before you know it, you're out at 60-something feet wide, and only 30 of it is traffic lanes, and who's paying the bill? The traffic lane for all the other fluff, because everybody wants their own deal.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the bike ped thing, the multimodal path,
yeah.
you know, the odds of, you know, it's like I've always said, and I've said it a million times, you know, a bicycle and a pedestrian collide, you know, you're going to have some scraped elbows and maybe a broken arm or something. A bicyclist and a logger truck collide, it's ugly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so get them off.
Mm-hmm.
And so I
don't think we have many logging trucks, but I'll give it
right.
to you.
Yeah, not anymore.
If we did,
dump truck.
Dump truck, there you go.
I saw some Thursday.
I know, I saw logs on it.
Is there a cross-section of that? And can that go on? This is going to go up just to Savage?
Not quite to Savage. So it's Madron on the south end, and it goes up to basically Quail Crossing Talbot on the north end there.
Okay. Yep. Is there a possibility that with this revised layout that mm-hmm. we could get more lineal feet for the same amount?
Oh, sure. It would be cheaper than doing sidewalks both sides. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Right. There's more width once you get past that pinch point at Savage, but if this
is there any appetite,
model that works, right.
Is there any appetite saying, you know what, we budgeted this amount with all the, you know, the full street improvement, and now we're not going to do the full street improvement, so we have X number of dollars instead of taking it out of the project, use it somewhere else to say, mm-hmm. no, we're gonna go on up to the overpass.
Right, right. We certainly could. I suspect that with the bigger width and if the Hillcrest part goes in, there may be more of a push on the other side to have sidewalks both sides.
But right.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
But or rather, I think that with the bike ped together, to extend it further
mm-hmm.
and get the bang for the buck. And
when you say, okay, we're going to go from bike ped, multimodal path, the two paths on each side, and we segregate everybody out again, now you got people crossing the street. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you just kept it up there, that's the tone of it.
Mm-hmm.
Above,
mm-hmm.
Outlook or Conklin or whatever, above that, that's the tone that you set all the way to Hillcrest.
And it could be part of the negotiation if we said, look, we could put it in single side with this wider path for $300,000 or sidewalks both sides for $400,000. If we do this, how about we split then the other $100,000 in savings and say we'll put that towards something else yet so we can get further on down the road.
Sounds good.
With this, we would also be doing sharrows on the southbound, the assumption being that bikes going downhill could certainly keep up with traffic for those who are comfortable on that road. And the speed humps would be coming out.
So. Oh, yeah, the speed humps would come out as well.
They just are hammering that road. Once they come down off the backside, you can see the dips every single one.
Has Don started yet? Irrigation district started?
Timber Mount was in yesterday. I think they're going to start. They're going to hit it on a Monday because I think they can bang it out in a week long. So could be Monday depending on weather, I suppose.
Are they going to hit close to spring break?
I would think they want to be done by then. They've got Timber Mountain has the pipe in hand. And they think it's a long week project. Maybe not to get it recapped, but at least to get it done and back open.
Get it back open again. Yeah.
So if you see them start on a Monday, hopefully they're done by 5 the coming Friday.
Okay.
Highland Sidewalk is basically status quo. That'll be in budget for this year. I put 30. They're probably closer to 60% plans. It's kind of cool with that Glidewell Estates and that sidewalk going. You kind of get a sense of what it's going to finally look like once that all ties together. But keep hearing a lot from folks that are excited about that project. The TSP process, we are getting close on that one. We've got one more technical memo that we're expecting from them, and at that point then we will have a public open house presenting to formal presentation to the board to say here's where we're looking at going. Kittleson would come down and actually present to the board, and I think the city is about a month ahead with theirs, but same idea that it's here's the proposed draft version, and then they present to the local governing bodies. But it's been a good process so far. It's moving along.
And how long would that be good for, 20?
I think they seem more like 15. The one we're revising is 03, so we're at, 17 or 16 from when we started the process?
Yeah.
County fleet acquisition. So this is a cool one. We talked, I think at the last quarterly meeting, that based on the projected revenue coming in and vehicles we knew we had to buy, we were potentially looking at having to do a short-term loan just to bridge that gap of getting the fleet up to date. If you turn to the back page, this kind of gives you an update of where we think we now lie. So we were initially thinking that top number there, year-end fund balance, was potentially about a negative $30,000. Well, thanks to Ted's yeoman efforts to get newer cars in and old ones sold and everything else, we don't think that's the case anymore. We're going to be basically zero this next year. And following year, that $20,000 projected ending fund balance, we think is going to be closer to $200,000. So I don't sense us needing a loan, and we're going to actually have us back to a reasonable fund balance to where if we had 4 or 5 or 6 unexpected transmissions fail, full vehicles need to go away, that we'll have the ability to absorb that by this time next year. So kudos to Ted. He really hammered that thing out quickly and got the ship turned around quicker than I would have guessed.
That's a prime example of, boy, you just keep patching the old, and at the end of the day, it costs more to do that. And then if you went and said, okay, I'm going to buy something brand new on warranty, we get a pretty good fleet discount anyway.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And the loss of productivity during the downturn.
Yeah, just, yes, the frustration level of our customers has gone down.
Safety issues if you got in a high-speed chase and the brakes failed or whatever. So it's kind of a good deal.
Well, and you,
glad it's working out financially.
We have to continue to sing the praises of this method, because one of the first naysayers is, why are you guys driving around in new cars all the time?
Yep.
And that's a public relations piece that we got to get around.
We actually got approached for information from, I'm forgetting which county it was now, but Enterprise had approached them about basically taking over their fleet and making a lease model out of it. We sent them everything we had, and within about a day and a half, they said, oh, we see why you're doing it that way.
Right.
Yeah, why would we monetize our car's depreciation and let somebody else collect it? Next one, the seismic bridge assessment report. So 2017, we had HDR do an assessment of 27 bridges kind of in the core area, if you will. So when I say core, I'm saying like Fish Hatchery on the south side, Monument on the north side, but kind of that, catching most of the population. And we had them evaluated for not only, volume, but what was in the backside of them. A hospital got more points, a fire station got more points, that kind of a thing, to see which were the most critical, then laid that against what were the costs to seismically fix those things. And the report came up with a list, and as you would guess, it's a big old number to fix them. But we had a meeting last week with Search and Rescue and with Hart Krauser, another engineering firm, And we're going to take the next step now and start budgeting on an annual basis to just start knocking through this list. To give you a sense of how much is involved, the top tier, oh my gosh, we need to fix these, are on the order of about $7 million. So we're not going to fix them all this year. We're not going to fix them all next year. But
and that's these, just in that core that you're talking about. That's not going out into the Illinois Valley and Wolf Creek and Williams and stuff.
Right.
What do you have any, gosh, ideas what it would be for the whole county? Or do you not even?
It would be tough to prorate out based on, because some of the fixes are as cheap as, you know, looking down the list here, you know, we've got some as low as $31,000. We've got another one for Louse Creek on Highland Avenue. It's $1.6 million. So that's when you look and say, how much usable life is left? Do we just wait and fix this thing altogether? But I just wanted to give the board kind of a heads up that we're going to move into a new mode of having a couple $100,000 a year to start fixing these seismically critical bridges. So,
do we get any help from them?
Well, so that's funny. The reason we initially did this was the previous county engineer had the foresight to say, I think something's going to be coming down the pike. Let's have this ready. And just in the last week and a half, we started getting some soft guidance from the state that says, yeah, there may be $2 million available statewide. It's not much, but if we've got a shovel-ready project, the thought being, hey, we can maybe jump there and have a better application. So I wouldn't guarantee that we're getting anything from the state, but we're at least positioned.
Well, we're ready if it does come our way.
State. Right. And it's stuff
we just
that,
have to look better. We just have to look better than the next guy.
And it's stuff that we would have to do anyway. If we can spend $300,000 seismically bulletproofing a $3 million bridge, it's irresponsible to not do that. So we need to start.
Well, didn't ODOT do the same thing for Southern Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
And they have been repairing and prioritizing and all those
Funny
things.
Funny you should
as well.
Mention. Come on. two more items from now. That very subject may come up.
Just leapfrogging.
Vehicle and equipment acquisition, just since the last update, we have gotten delivery on two of our dump trucks. There's still two more in the queue. The two new chipper box trucks, so they're not the chippers, but these are the trucks that actually all the chipper junk flies into the back of. Newer, beefier trucks. What we found with the previous ones was the suspension and the vehicle was not able to take that weight. If it was really dry stuff, it was great, but we're chipping in the winter. All that wet material back there, it just got to rocking, and it was not a good scene. So they hit the end of the usable life, replaced them. And then a couple new ones. We got two slip-in pickup sanders. These are effectively sanders that are the size of a pickup bed that we can literally drop and strap down for just a quicker response. Had them both out the last storm. They hold about a yard of sand, but it's just, again, quick response. They get into cul-de-sacs easier, smaller roads, instead of taking a full-blown 10-yard dump truck out. So just trying to make us a little more nimble.
The two 10-yards, those two blue ones I saw parked over by with the trailers on?
No, those have been there. The two newer ones are orange-ish.
Okay.
Yep, the blue ones are the old transfers we've had for a while.
And slip-in pickup sander, that's a shove in the back of a pickup.
Yeah, you literally put it in there with a forklift and load it. Yep.
Just like it sounds.
Yep. And I think I want to say they were $4,700 a piece. So, you know, the alternative being running a full blown dump truck sander out there for $65 an hour, these things pay for themselves pretty quickly.
Gotcha.
Yep. And you don't have to have a CDL to drive it. That's the other bonus. Oh. We could have our ones if driving them even. So, a Hillcrest I-5 retrofit project. This is what you were referencing, Commissioner. Yeah, ODOT has been moving their way down I-5 to do the same thing, seismically retrofit a lot of their bridges. And the old earthquake standards, and Mark could probably talk to this as well, that they did not strap things down.
Gravity was the
structures or bridges, yeah. So Hillcrest is kind of the next one that they're looking at doing, and they have approached us with the possibility of asking us to close Hillcrest for 8 weeks.
And that's not too bad a drive around.
No. The tough part is there's probably 250 houses up there that you now have put their only access out is down Beacon and then either Heffley or 10th. So we've talked to some first responders that are already kind of said, ooh, and definitely don't want to do it during fire season. It's got to be during that because otherwise, you got problems.
They
got
to go down Hillcrest. They can't come down. If they're going to tear that bridge out, if they're going to redo that bridge underneath it, you can't come down. You've got to go Hillcrest to 10th. You can't Heffley's this side of that.
Folks in the top corner, they would take Beacon down and either Heffley or Savage, and we would try to move them to Savage just because it's a wider street and it's ready for that.
I've got a question. They completely redid the deck on that thing about 10 years ago?
Probably.
They widened the deck and they did all this stuff and you look underneath and boy, they redid all kinds of stuff and rolled all the graffiti and encapsulated everything with emulsion. They didn't think of seismic back then?
I don't know how much this would have that would have precluded. I mean, this is would involve them getting about 12 feet down, actually, below the bridge to redo those pilings, to strap the deck on and all that. So okay. I don't know. I don't think they threw any good money after bad kind of a thing.
I think they completely tore that deck
mm-hmm.
out
mm-hmm.
and redid all new rebar mm-hmm. and everything else. I would say the pillars could probably fall out from underneath the new old car.
But. Well, and the other math that changed was just as Cascadia became a bigger deal, they started looking statewide to say we need to harden off the routes that we have to keep open.
Right.
So how that impacts us again is if...
And that's the only one in our area that we need on I-5? Has 6th Street been done yet?
6th Street is part of... I don't know if it's part of the same package, but I believe 58 is.
What about Beacon Bridge? Is that
Beacon's done? Part of the same package?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Same this Hillcrest package?
Well, they've got. I want to say they have $3.1 million. No, $5 million, and I think they're going to get as far as they can get with it, kind of a thing.
Part of the program. It's in queue, but not part
right,
of this.
Not, right. Not scheduled.
Right. Okay. So that would come to the board, obviously, to do a road closure for 8 weeks, and okay. There will be pushback. We've already heard from some residents up that way. So the thought for you to be kicking around is, what would we like to see in mitigation? If you were to ask the Public Works Director, what would he do for mitigation?
What would the Public Works Director do for mitigation?
Well, if we could potentially look at getting them to put some sidewalk on Savage, that might be a good way to get some additional pedestrian safety while it's not related to the project, so... Keep that in mind. That's
they have sidewalks for a ways, but they wouldn't happen at the same time. We're going to beat them on Beacon.
If we get Savage fixed before then, we can make the argument to say Savage is now safer. So they saved $250,000 by us closing Hillcrest. I don't think it's unreasonable for us to share in some of that cost savings one way or another.
Hmm.
So keep that in mind as we move along. Last one, seal oil silos. So those are the two big silos we've got out there kind of on the southeast corner of our property. We had a big failure in one 2 summers ago. The plumbing inside failed. So basically it's a hot water recirculation system that keeps the oil at temp. One of them failed. So we were thinking, gosh, we're going to have to replace both of these because they're the same vintage. Well, in the last month or so, Dan Mock, who was our journeyman mechanic, is now our new fleet manager, had the idea to say, what about cutting those things open? Big enough to where it's not a confined space. Did some research, found out there's a way to get there. So the plan now is to cut them open, basically put a door on both of them, get in, yard out all the old plumbing, sandblast them clean, and then they effectively ultrasound these to see how thick the steel is on them to see if, hey, are they worth keeping? They're worth keeping because we know that they are 5/8 inch plate all the way around. They're rehabbing some down in Medford right now. They're a quarter inch in there from the 60s. So I have no doubt those things are good. So by jumping through these steps, they will get recertified by DEQ, and the bottom line is, instead of $75,000 for each of them to replace, we think we get them both repaired for about $35,000. So, kudos to Dan. He probably came up with a $110,000 saving solution on this thing. I think we'll get them both up, if not one up for chip seal season, and we'll need it because we're looking at like 40 miles this year. We couldn't get there without silos. That's where the standby oil goes, because you can't just snap your fingers and have 8,000 gallons of
chip seal program has shown us over and over and over again that it's a moneymaker.
Oh, for sure.
It definitely stretches out
for sure.
Major stuff. So
and what we found with not having silos is you can have Albina or VSS, whoever's bringing the oil, they can come and do standby. It's $110 an hour. So without a silo, we've seen it. We spent about $8,000 or $10,000 in standby time last year. So the fixes will pay for themselves.
Albina fuels?
Yeah.
I should have worked for them for years.
Yep.
They're around a long time.
And the other good thing is, you know, if Public Works ends up moving 1, 5, 10 years down the road, these would be self-contained enough where we can move them with us. Yep. So,
okay.
That's what I got.
Questions, comments, Commissioner Morgan?
I wanted to go back to the solid waste franchise agreement.
Yeah.
We had asked for to work into a franchise edit to allow the contractors for cleaning up those properties under contract to be able to do that.
Third party haulers.
Not third party haulers in all situations, but specifically contractors that are working with the realtors and cleaning up those properties, assigned to clean up and haul that away, kind of putting them in the same category as a carpet person or another contractor redesigning a house. So a carve out for that. I know the city of Cave Junction is also going to be insisting on that in their franchise.
Sure.
And so I just wanted to make sure that's still something we're asking.
it wasn't the initial edits because I was compiling them all, but we could certainly work up some language to propose. And, you know, obviously the franchisees are going to say, hold on, wait a second, but that can be part of negotiation. Sure.
I would not support us renewing the franchise without it.
Okay.
That's how strongly I feel about it.
Okay.
Good idea. Let's put a time on that. Let's get it done.
And Cave Junction feels the same. Okay. So there's going to be support for it. They still will have to pay when they get to the end result. This isn't opening up for anybody to just do this. They specifically are under contract for a project. So there's a way to do it, and that they're not losing profit. They're not, you know, the third-party haulers are still, sorry, the franchisees are still covered with their expenses. But right now we're having alternatives where people are getting those contracts and dumping in our federal lands or our public lands, and I would rather us have a system in place that encourages the refuse to go to the transfer stations where it needs to go. And so, bigger picture of what we're preventing.
And just, okay. Yeah. Just so you know, I have a 10:45 with Mr. Camp, and I have an 11. So,
yeah. Miss out on either one of those. We might have to have a blind
just
spot
as we move along.
I'm good.
I still have one comment I wanted to throw at all of you. I was out at a meeting in Cave Junction with Indivisible, and they were asking about the roadside spray and the alternatives. I don't know if there's time when we got the question of whether we want to put an advisory question on the May ballot. I wish I would have thought, and I don't know what the time is left, to say, hey, we want to change from roadside herbicide spraying to steam or lawnmowers or whatever it is countywide. And so we would add 11 cents or whatever it is to your per thousand to change the whole county and do that. And I was wondering if we could ask an advisory question or if you have time to get the information before then. I forget the date. I thought it was March something. Was the deadline date.
I've got a white paper done, effectively, that shows what our projected increase in costs would be going to non-chemical.
Yeah, we've done that before.
You could very quickly then, yeah, work into how much you would need to make a year to offset it and put it on as advisory.
To do it?
I
just didn't know if you got other commissioners that
I can get you that number on the white paper by the end of the week.
And I don't know how you'd possibly do this. Can you do this by, in other words, the people in Merlin, they say, yes, spray, get this stuff out of here. But the people in Williams go, no spray at all.
Right.
Could it be like territorial?
Zonal?
I could break our costs down.
Zone, you know.
I could do our costs very easily. I'm assuming that the assessor could break that down based on whatever.
Right. Well,
I don't know if you'd have time to do that by because our deadline
is. You have to ask legal this afternoon.
Yep.
I could do it by district by the end of the week. I can tell you that for my part at least. I can give you costs.
Yeah, so let's ask. I think it'd be timely to ask because Williams is talking about it, Cave Junction is talking about it. Let's look at countywide or with three zones or whatever it
is. How much
ends
does
up.
Each penny raise countywide?
I don't remember. That.
What's that?
Arthur!
Each penny on assessed value, how much does it raise? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't have that number either.
I've talked to.
We have professionals that know that number.
Yeah, I believe our projected countywide
cost
is
maybe we could ask
in
between.
Or a million 1 year.
Okay, so that
we could
would
ask
be
in between how much a penny
about
raises?
16 cents, I think.
Yeah. Each penny raises 16 cents.
8 cents, I want to say, is around 450,000. It may be different now with assessed value, but so I would say that we're looking at probably, well, hold on. So 93 cents got in 7 million. So if you would divide that by 7,
you have to do,
you're looking at, I would guess 14, 15 cents, maybe 16 cents.
Do you take the city residents out of it because they're not involved in it, in the spray program?
Yeah,
okay, then
spray
it would be higher.
I don't care about spray.
So,
I'll get you the white paper before the end of the week. Do you want it broken down by district then?
That's maybe like three zones? I don't know what district.
I think three zones.
Yeah. The Williams direction, the Cape Junction direction, the north direction.
It may have to be road district to make it a bit. There's five, but it's still kind of, it's Williams.
It'd still be workable.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Commissioner Morgan.
Lane County went to that complete program and they found some issues.
I remember.
With alternate responses. And so.
And they still had to spray certain little areas, like some guardrails, bridges. There were some areas where they couldn't.
Oh, and their Milliam program was like a million, too.
Their Milliam program also caused poison towards some of their agricultural animals because there were some weeds that when you mow it, spreads it, and it was getting into hay and different stuff like that. So Lane County had to come back with a different compromise. I would recommend that we get that language to learn from what they went through.
Mm-hmm. If no, and I think you've already been in contact with them.
Oh, yeah, we've got tons of them.
Yeah, because I don't know if it's mowing or steam or there's some alternative vinegar I heard.
There's no magic bullets, I hate to say it, but yeah. It's
vinegar with Dawn.
Right. Yeah. And coarse language.
Hydrochloric acid, it takes care of it. the question I had was a while back, I was approached by the Purple Heart people. And they brought a sign in.
You and I
discussed that, and there was an outfit in Medford that made the sign.
Yeah, Rubrik pinged him a week or two ago and had not heard back last I heard it. But I'll tell him to hit him again.
Maybe they're not. You know, I think I'd like to follow through on it. And I don't know how many entrances to the city we have. We're a Purple Heart County.
Well, I feel like, don't they have them even downtown? Like, is going into Medford? I feel like there's some that weren't at the county.
Maybe so, but how many entrances to the county? We have Foothill. Highway down here.
I'll have Dave ping him again. I guess it was about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago.
See how many signs we're talking about. That Josephine County is a Purple Heart County. I think we keep saying we're for our veterans and stuff. You know, another sign sure would hurt.
Prove it.
I've got the declaration language. It's fairly straight ahead.
I've got the sign in there, too.
Thank you for your report.
I'll ping him again then.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob. Okay, Mark. We're up for a community development quarterly update.
Thank you, Commissioners. Mark Stevenson, Community Development. I also have a meeting at 11, so I will make this.
You'll join the abbreviated nature of this?
Abbreviate this fairly quickly. So, just starting with our top questions. Our building safety inspectors and interns have received 11 new certifications. Many of these certifications are helping us in the field as a one-stop shop. So really proud of the hard work all these guys are doing. Some of these certifications are like the electrical commercial plumbing. It was a big one just recently received, and just some other minor ones. So things are going well in building safety. We have an inspector intern through the Portland Community College. And Macaulay Potter Fane and Associates for vocational rehab. It's a contractor that was here in Grants Pass who was injured on the job. So he's in our department now for the next year, and all his costs are covered through his vocational rehab.
Nice.
It's working really well.
What did explain vocational rehab to me?
He injured an elbow and could not go back into
hammering
construction.
It's training you into a new trade.
Yep.
Like
a lot of construction workers can become estimators and stuff like that.
We're
inspectors.
Vocational rehabilitation is a specific state office here in town.
Mm-hmm. So they reached out to me, Portland Community College, in this particular Macaulay Potter Fane Associates, and said, "We heard rumor." So word's getting around of our internship program. And so now this gentleman, his name is Mark. He is in our office and doing very well. I just had contact with Cooley and Associates out of Bend that are exploring the same opportunity for their vocational rehab folks mm-hmm. that they have in our area that could potentially come into our department. So it's kind of neat to see the word getting around that there's opportunity for training in the field. Along with that, we also have an intern that's working on kind of administrative and planning issues in our department. And she's doing very well in learning the trades of planning. We've completed scanning of all of our code enforcement documents in the SmartGov. And our permitting system and moved into miscellaneous planning and building docs that we have. So probably within, I would say, maybe possibly by the next quarter, we will no longer have any paper files. I mean, I'm sure there'll be papers around, but they'll all be scanned into our electronic system.
Is this going through past backlog, or is this current as people are coming in the electronic permitting process?
Both. So this is years of documents, I mean, thousands of documents that were still in paper files in filing cabinets. We're just scanning them in under the parcel numbers for the properties,
right,
getting those documents all together in one place electronically, and then getting rid of them.
Wow.
So, big project. It's been going on for a long time. Julie started it way back when. We're just continuing the process. Goals for next quarter. Tomorrow I meet with DEQ in consideration of assuming the residential on-site septic program here in Josephine County and assisting
awesome.
Curry County. And Commissioner Fowler, Community Development's liaison, will be sitting in on that meeting. Just a little note, there's only 8 counties in Oregon that doesn't have the DEQ program within their county, and we just happen to be one of them.
Would this be an opportunity to make things easier for a citizen?
This is a huge, huge deal. Instead of 4 to 6 weeks out, I believe, we could be a matter of days.
This would be incredible.
We used to do it.
Yeah.
I know the guys that did it years, 40 years ago, and then we just quit.
Okay.
We couldn't afford to do it.
Yeah.
It sure slowed down our customer service. That's the bad one.
Can I just say, love. I mean, if there's a way to put some massive emoji
on this,
you know, I'm just saying, great job.
The dollars are there. That will cover inspectors. But the other opportunity we have is all my field inspectors right now at building safety have the opportunity to go through the International Code Council and get those soils certifications. It's a process, and it takes a while, but the state gives us up to 2 years to make sure that we are covered and clear on our certifications for soils.
Well, I was talking to somebody who serves on the state environmental quality board that works at DEQ, but how with the housing amendments we had made that we're getting pushed back in mm-hmm. this area of getting the residential septic for those secondary dwelling options that we have in our code, and that this is one of those pieces that if we could get it in house mm-hmm. and allow, this is huge.
Mm-hmm. It is.
On the subset of that is on the 19th, I do have a meeting with the same gentleman and the Medford DEQ about our detached living spaces. So we'll see,
how that crosses that bridge.
Yeah. But initially, and they want, DEQ wants us to take this program. It's a, we didn't reach out to them, they reached out to us and said, please take the program. So hopefully that will, we'll know more in the following weeks. Our goals, we're going to continue removing the redundancy in all of our processes and procedures, trying to just upgrade all our customer service and continue our text amendment process. So as far as dollars and cents, building division is just still rocking. We had 20 new single-family dwellings in the quarter, 27 single-family additions, 74 other structures. We performed 655 field inspections, which is an average of about 28 inspections a day.
600 or 1,600?
1,655, which is about 28 inspections a day all over this county. And 108 plan reviews is just, that's like 4 plan approvals a day. So staff is just working hard. They're not overwhelmed yet, but they're doing, you know. We've come to the edge a few times. We've issued almost 800 permits and for almost $10 million worth of valuation and structures here in the county. And the planning division is even off the charts. So we've issued 314 development permits. But the big thing here is we've had over 4,574 customer contacts. That's 76 counter contacts a day. 76 people walking through the door, and we're handling them.
So the hours expansion has made a difference?
Huge deal, yeah. Everybody seems really happy. That 1 to 3 has made, we have a crowded house. We don't have people knocking on the door anymore because they're all very used to those hours. 100% across the board in planning has been issued under the 120-day time frame, and the majority of those have just been in a matter of 30 to 40, 45 days and out of there. So planners are really doing very, very well. And if my projections are right, so 2018-2019 revenue is 396. Projected estimate for 2020-2019-2020 would be roughly 450,000. That'll be not the busiest year of the last 10, but the second busiest. 2016-17 was that big hump in the development of the community for the marijuana mostly. So doing very well. We have 92 active land use applications in process as of yesterday. We have 68 annual compliance applications coming in for marijuana facilities. We have a 40-lot subdivision that's going to the Planning Commission February 24th. 40 more houses. That's out in the Russell Road area, North Valley. Non-conforming use determinations, we've just had quite a few of those. We have 18 applications in right now going through that, and we probably have, just guessing, somewhere around 25 to 30 other applications that have already been approved.
Is that cannabis production facilities or just marijuana?
Just marijuana.
So there is no, there's no non-conforming use requirement for a hemp grow.
That's not in our code.
Not in our code. Yeah, not in our code at this time.
Okay. It's one of the things we're pending before the legislator on whether time, place, manner would be added, but it's not.
They can talk about it all they want.
And we, you know, we're still permitting those. We're still, looking at the facilities as commercial facilities, even if it is on a residential property. So, we haven't crossed that yet. So long range, we have our proposed text amendments that we're still weekly. Things are changing constantly with the legislature in land use, farm and forest, and these, and we're just trying to keep up on those changes. I believe that we'll be exploring the possibility of acting upon those changes prior to it actually getting into a text amendment, but I need to speak to legal about how we go about that, because these changes come so quickly and it takes us such a determinant long time to get those text amendments done, and we really need to be enforcing those rules as they come out of the legislature and as they come out of law. So planner workloads. Planners have been managing between 15 to 25 applications each, which is a huge number. And so I'm just putting a plug in there. We will be looking for another planner to bring on. Because if it keeps going the way it's going right now, we had basically no slowdown during November, December. February's already taken off with a boom, and the planners are going to be overwhelmed fairly quickly, I think. So I'll be looking at, for sure, if it stays this way next budget season, putting on another planner, but possibly even needing to approach a board prior to that.
And you need to work really hard to have the money to cover that.
Absolutely. We got this.
Really hard.
I touched on code enforcement to each of you, and so we'll discuss that at a future date, and we'll have some good things moving forward with that. So,
good.
Commissioner Morgan?
I saw that you were going to have the temporary use, the mass gathering stuff coming.
Yes.
Which, thank you. I think the time frames right now are hard for people to get things done in the time frames it almost needs to come back a couple of months process to make sure they have the time to get through the process, or some checklists involved.
Right now, this is with legal, so they're reviewing it. So we've already done the work on it. Okay. We're just waiting for...
May I put one more on your radar?
Sure.
Mining designation on land.
Okay.
So you, as we have Woodlot Resource, as we have Forest designation, rural residential, We do have a designation as a mining resource designation, but mining is not an outright permitted use on mining designated plants. And I think that would be one to take a look at as far as...
Okay.
It would make sense that mining would be allowed on a mining resource land.
I think.
You think.
Why would you come across it?
If you can have a mining resource, could you mine?
I possibly get that idea.
And so just was a curious that when I saw that one, I'm like, it might be worth taking an extra set of eyes on.
Yeah.
If possible.
That's a good add.
Okay, on another note, I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but kennels. So we've already gone through some changes on that, and that is, I believe, with legal also. So.
Yeah,
I don't think I mentioned it on here.
No, it's not on the report.
That was a fairly simple fix, and we were able to, it's going to benefit a lot of people when it's finalized. So.
Well, and it takes three departments. Mm-hmm. So, Sheriff's Office with Animal Control, Public Health with Licensing,
right.
Your department with the structural. And so the coordination of the three, they've been doing at the Animal Shelter Advisory, and I appreciate that you guys all came to the table like you did.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
Worked out.
Thank you.
That's all I got.
Excellent.
All right.
Good news is always good news.
Thank you, Board. Appreciate it.
Well, here we are at 10:41.
4 minutes, JJ.
All right.
I would recommend that we not do this one today.
I just looked at how thick it was.
I don't want to.
Can we look after it and then?
I think we're going to have a robust discussion during this whole thing. So.
I think we need to give it the due diligence of even a workshop or something special to talk through this one as we've been talking.
Maybe on next Wednesday's afternoon meeting.
Do you want me to give you a quick summation so you know what you're looking at, or do you want to?
Well, and. I would had a question for you because I brought my packet today too. These are all the responses I got from other counties,
mm-hmm.
and there were some things that some of them did that was like, "Oh, that's really cool." Some of them even have a electronic that kind of auto fills some areas and does some stuff that is a. I didn't get myself past the point of just printing it, but I want to make sure that you have the resource of all of that because maybe there's something that will stand out as like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Oh, I like that. So I don't know how you'd like to go about that. I would be interested in trying to have the conversation envelop all of it.
Right.
One other thing, too, is Annette and I sat through a vendor presentation. And the potential would be to get just to see what it was about. If would this be something we start with department heads, but potentially it could be countywide evaluations electronically that allows documentation through the year that you can kind of add notes and stuff like that. But I'd love to get you connected with it to see if you had thoughts on it. Obviously, cost is something that I would be concerned about.
Yeah.
But it's such a good conversation, and I know this is just a piece of it, but it affects everything. Yep. And so I. Unfortunately, just haven't had a chance to say, can we touch base on this one? Because, again, getting you wanting to make sure we're all on the same page and have...
We want the final product to be something that you guys can support and be effective in the future.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to piecemeal it. I'd like to work from beginning to end with you. Yeah, and so that we're not drifting.
Sure.
Well, my goal is that I remember at one point department heads in the county had a one-year employment contract. Every year, every department head would have to come before the board. And it didn't matter how outstanding they were. There was fear that as they were coming to the board, they may not have a job after today. I would rather us look at a system that puts some things in place that expectations are known. It builds on a process of goals for the next year that we're evaluating based on those expectations. And it actually enhances and... reduces chaos and fear, and yet there is still accountability because everybody, we all, me at the front of the line, have room for improvement. But the goal is a better professional product, not and a consistency, right? And so,
sure,
great. We'll resketch. Thank you.
Fine. No worries,
much appreciated.
Next Wednesday, 2:00 workshop.
Yeah,
okay.
For now, let's shoot for that because then we'll have time.
Okay,
yep.
The Rogue Workforce one before you go ahead.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Nope, I think he was ready to say goodbye. Yes.
So, Gigi, can you and I follow up?
Sure.
Okay.
The Rogue Workforce thing using our logo.
You two can decide that. Cameron and I have to do this.
And then one other thing is I called the guy regarding cell towers on 199. He's not asking us to support his towers. He's asking us to ask for letters saying we support communication through the thing. And I could support that. If you guys would support us writing a letter, would you be all right with that?
Yep.
Okay.
I
haven't written it yet, but I'll... Ivy Fire has done it. But it's the idea is not to support an individual. It's to support the concept of communication from here to the coast and getting emergency...
Right.
So if you guys are okay with me bringing back a letter, I'll bring it back to y'all.
I think so.
Are you advocating for us to add my I'm not going to support the road workforce one. My understanding is there are not going to be any big budgetary fixes this half biennium, this short session.
Well, I'm
unless
it's not a support letter, it's just use of logo.
What are the other logos that are on that page?
Don't know. I know that I have some concerns.
I would say at this point in the mid-session, it's not the priority I would focus on.
Right.
For instance,
so you're saying it's deeper than just borrowing the logo to make there?
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm
going over there on Friday, I believe. So I will have this conversation at that point, I imagine.
Community Corrections got funded $25 million less than what the time study says they need for this biennium. And that is something that Association of Warden Counties wholeheartedly is supporting and advocating for. And the difference is, Director Gowdy Rand told me on Friday that we're looking at close to 1,300 people on supervision, of which we're being funded for 1,000. So a 300-person difference in that funding. That's significant, and that's not potentially going to get funded. I met with some legislators yesterday asking, and so they really are sticking to as close as they can the budget this mid-session. And so if I put my logo on a project to say I'm asking for funding for this, one of them is putting our heads out for the core grant extension on the omnibus transportation. Not wanting additional transportation taxes, but that core grant's significant. You know, so just kind of which ones do we put? And I don't know that it, is this restoring funding? I guess that was the ask. They didn't get their full funding. I just don't know.
Okay. Well, let's leave her there. We'll do additional matters this afternoon. We all three have some, unless there's something urgent.
No, that would... I guess there is one I would like to put on your radar.
Yeah.
A goal of a multi-agency meeting space in the Illinois Valley. When we sold the K-Junction building, we lost a central, non-religious, non-school meeting place. So the resource center has rooms for maybe 30, 40 people, but there's no place for 100 or more people to gather. And I know that I've heard community development talk about needing space out there to make it easier for folks. Public health is renting space. Sheriff's office is renting space from the city. I don't know if there's other departments that would have need for having county space out there, but I think I love the idea that Cameron presented about a strategic plan for us as a whole county every year, a long-term and a short-term, going into budgetary and stuff like that. Obviously, that one in February is a little late.
Right. Well, and I heard that the Umpqua Bank property, the city is leasing to the Lions Club, so they're using it once a month. I'm wondering if there's any room in there for something.
That one also was on my radar. I also always want to be mindful of what is on the main downtown corridor. You know, I think hindsight's always better. And
perfect clarity. Well, and talking to the city council last night out there, they have a couple small, not really substantive changes to the MOU that Rebecca's going to approach Wally with. It was just adding some clarifying language to say the intention and not trying to change the intention. And so I don't think it's going to be a big deal. Legal's probably going to, yep, that's fine. But I asked them to try and get it done so we'd have a final product to look at tomorrow night.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you, sir.
Anything else, Annette? All right, with that, we're at 10:50, and we're done for now.